بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are studying this chapter of Mujahada, that is to make effort. And what Mujahada is referred to moreover here is our nafal ibadat. We should increase our, and we should be regular and increase our nafal ibadat. In there we read the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make but practically the whole night ibadat of Allah ta'ala. And when she said, "Oh Allah's Rasul, Allah has forgiven all your sins." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all the Anbiya had no sins, but they regarded themselves as such because of their very high position. So he said, "Should I not be a thankful slave of Allah ta'ala when Allah has given me all this very high position?" So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making so much of nafal ibadah, making almost the whole night tahajjud, and as it comes in the same hadith, his legs also used to swell up. So much ibadah he used to make. And in the Quran Sharif we are also told, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you have done your other work, especially as you are now going towards old age, and you are finished with your other work, then engage more in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And in nasab is that so much of ibadat that you feel the strain, not just a little bit and you are still quite comfortable and easy, but so much of ibadat that you feel the strain. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make, that his leg even gets swollen up. So that is what we are encouraged and told, that in this chapter, that we also should engage in nafal ibadat. Not only namaz, but all tilawat, dhikr, etc., all charity, fasting, all nafal ibadat, we should try and make mujahada and increase our efforts. An outstanding feature of the blessed life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would remain awake in the worship of Allah every night. And not only in Ramadan or certain special times, but every night. And we see in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the right of the righteous and the pious, even when they are ill, they don't allow small excuses to come in their way. As somebody said, we are such that our eyebrows paining, we say, "Now I can't make ibadat. I can't go to the masjid." Our nails are paining, now we can't make ibadat. They were such people that major illnesses and obstacles, but nothing came in their way when it came to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And continuously, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and our pious predecessors also consistently engaged in this process. And unfortunately, that is a thing that seems to have gone out of us. This ibadat of Allah, we will just come for our namazes and just last minute and first minute we are gone again. Whereas the masjid should be occupied. They should be abad all the time, there should be people. So we should be engaged in this ibadat. Awakening for optional worship during the latter portion of the night has numerous benefits. And tahajjud has got great, great benefits. One great wali of Allah Ta'ala, the son of Harun al-Rashid, was a young boy, he was a prince. But the amount of ibadat he used to make and what great position he had. When somebody saw him in his dream, asked him how he fared, he said that for all the people who make tahajjud, one great benefit that Allah Ta'ala gives them, qurratul ayn, that's to the coolness of the eyes. Allah gives them great enjoyments when they pass away. So tahajjud namaz has got great, great benefits. And amongst the many of them, one is that whoever makes his tahajjud and he passes away in the habit of tahajjud, then Allah Ta'ala gives him such great ni'mat that فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ, that nobody knows what Allah has hidden and kept for all those people. So Allah give us tawfiq to make tahajjud. At least we should start with two rakats after Isha namaz. That will also be counted in tahajjud. When we have finished our tahajjud, even two rakat, even in a sitting position, even with small surat, but we will be counted amongst the tahajjud guzar. And whoever starts there, it's not long that Allah gives him tawfiq to get up in the morning also, in the later part of the night, and then what great enjoyment he experiences to be at that time alone with one's beloved and to pour out one's heart to Allah Ta'ala. Only that person knows what that enjoyment is. The du'as are readily accepted during this time, and those who do so are more alert and energetic during the day. Contrary to what we think, that when we get up for tahajjud, maybe a test for the first few days it is, because we got up early, now we feel tired, groggy during the day. But it isn't the case. And tahajjud makes a person feel fresh and healthy, and he's ready for work. Though he got up, he sleep, and this also will help to correct our aqidah, that our rest and our alertness of our mind is not by having full sleep, but it is by Allah's command. And when a person sacrifices his sleep for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gives him that alertness. Though his sleep becomes less, he will be surprised himself that I didn't get my full sleep, but I'm still, my mind is fresh, I'm still alert. That is one other great virtue of tahajjud as well. It is our belief that all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam were sinless. No, Allah made them masoom. There was no possibility that they could commit a sin. It was out of the question. Other great people, the Sahaba, great awliya, Allah make them mahfooz. There is a possibility, but Allah protects them from sin. And this is also one thing we should beg of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah protects us from wrong things, wrong decisions. Many times we think we make mashura also, but yet we make the wrong decision. And sometimes in our deeni matters we make the wrong decisions also. But whom Allah guides, that person Allah Ta'ala protects him, and he doesn't make wrong decisions. And even if he does, Allah does not let that happen. Allah blocks it. Allah Ta'ala guides that person. This guidance from Allah is a thing which we should also beg very greatly, more than what we depend on our thinking, our knowledge, our experience. We trust on Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you guide me to the right thing. And when Allah's hand is on a person, Allah protects that person and Allah guides him to righteousness. They were pure from all major and minor sins. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah kept them completely pure. There was no question of any type of sin, major or minor. In appreciation of this great favor of Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam exerted himself in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Today we find false peers and sheikhs that they are all on batil, on wrong things. They are involved in all types of bid'ah, but the way they regard themselves, that they don't have to make ibadat. That their namazes are being made in Makkah and Medina. Namazes are made in the fourth heaven. That is not the case. We see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what great position. But his ibadat, how he was, so much he made his ibadat. He did not make these false claims that now namaz is maaf on me. Now I made enough ibadat, now I don't have to keep rozas, I don't have to make ibadat. And then they get involved in drugs, big peer subs, and they are involved in strong cigarettes, in drugs, etc. That is completely a false thing, but unfortunately, how many people fall for them and think that my peer sub, what a great person, his namaz is made in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, in the fourth heaven, etc. There is nothing like that in our deen. It is a clear cut, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is our perfect model and guide in all matters. Further, According to some ulama, it is impossible even for a Nabi to fulfill the rites of worship and gratitude of Allah Ta'ala. Hence, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and our Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam regarded this as a deficiency that warranted repentance. Allah Ta'ala is unlimited, and nobody, even the Malaika, cannot fulfill the rites of Allah Ta'ala, which our Shaykh explained very beautifully, like the water of a jug cannot fit in a glass, and the water of the bucket cannot fill in a jacket, in a jug, and the water of the reservoir cannot fill in the bucket, and the water of the sea cannot fill in the reservoir. So like that, Allah is unlimited. We, with our limited ibadat in every aspect, our devotion, our thinking, our quantity, everything, we are limited in everything. We can never fulfill the rights of Allah Ta'ala. And all mankind together, and all the Anbiya included, and the Malaika, nobody can fulfill the rights of Allah. Therefore, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who understood this, they always asked for forgiveness. And we also, no matter how much a person tries and makes his ibadat as perfect as possible, if he has found reality, he will only make tawbah and ask for forgiveness. But a person who is limited and is deficient, he will just make little bit some namaz and he thinks, I'm a very pious person. And the way I make ibadat, nobody makes like me. And I fulfill the right. And then he demands on Allah Ta'ala. And such people then ask that, why aren't my du'as being accepted? I'm so pious, I make so much du'as, but why aren't my du'as accepted? Who are we? What is our ibadat? Where there is no tikana of it whatsoever. Where can we fulfill the rights of Allah Ta'ala? So it's very important, together with our ibadat, we also learn reality. And that will only come when we stay with a share. And then we will understand that what we were thinking, that we are very pious, in fact we are very impious. Then reality will open. And when we are on our own, then just little bit we make ibadat, shaitan will put in our head, there is no buzurg like you. You are very pious, you are very learned, you are very pious, and you are very parizgar, and very you got lot of taqwa. You will easily misguide us. Therefore, we should always have a sheikh who will guide us, and that sheikh will cut us down to size. When we think we are too big for our boots, he will make us realize who we are, and he will cut us down to size. So that is very necessary, that a person engages in this and brings these realities in him. Otherwise he'll think he's somebody very great, and at the time of mort he'll realize it's completely opposite. And that will be too late, of course. And a person who corrects himself in this worldly life, and he prepares himself correctly, he goes in a very humble way, and then when he receives the great, great favors of Allah, there won't be any limit to his joy and happiness. May Allah guide us to righteousness, and let us see things in the correct light.